It's just the first morning. It's like, oh, boy, that was like gut punch this morning, wasn't it? Well, I'm so glad you're here. Why don't you stand with me as we open with prayer and just bless the Lord this morning. Lord God, we're thankful for the love we have that you have given us. We're thankful that you have first loved us so that we can also love you. We just pray your anointing to be on our service as we bless you with song, bless you with our time in the word. And we just pray your guidance to have freedom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
One more time.
There is power, power, wonder-working power of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Mighty is our God. Mighty is our King. Mighty is our Lord. Ruler of everything, glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, Ruler of everything. His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God. Mighty is our King. Mighty is our Lord. Ruler of everything. Glory to our God. Glory to our King. Glory to our Lord. Ruler of everything. His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, Ruler of everything. He's Ruler of everything.
Hallelujah. Amen. How are we doing today? You doing all right?
Yes.
Well, mighty is God. He is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We're going to continue with our worship, and if you have the plans of giving in the offering this morning, we sure welcome that. For those who have already done so online, thank you so much. I know that there's times in our life, in our world, that makes it difficult on the giving side. And yet in some ways, I find it to be the most joyful and blessed time to give. When it really does feel like a sacrifice. To say, you know, Lord, things are a little wonky right now. And yet, I've been so blessed. What a joy it is to give back to you. And I just want to pray for you as you have been so faithful to the tithes and the offerings that help support our mission and the missions of our missionaries as well. I'd just like to pray God's blessing on you as you have been so faithful and to continue to be faithful in that. Lord God, thank you for the privilege it is to give. Thank you that we can serve you in so many ways, and one of those ways is through the finances. We have a project happening in our church because of the faithfulness of your people. To see an expanded opening of our entryway and the foyer, to make more accessibility for all people to come without any hindrance. What a joy it is to see that coming together because of the faithfulness of your children. We just pray a blessing on each and every one that can give. We ask that your anointing will be upon them. And for our mission and our missionaries, we also pray that blessing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
How great the chasm that lies between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. The promise, your buried body claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better. Not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better. Turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, and the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who had come to the Father are restored. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this church, the church of old, shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. this gospel truth of old. Shall not kneel, shall not faint, by his blood and in his name. In his freedom I am free, for the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Some time to be quiet in his presence with Pastor Emma can play the piano, but let's just take some time to listen to his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege it is to be together today. Thank you for the grace you have given us. Grace and mercy, which we often take for granted. We often, as we learned in our Sunday school class time, we often take it for granted. And don't consider your justice and the judgment of which is to come. And some of the harshness of what we've seen in the past. Because of your coming, Lord Jesus, of which we are getting close to that time of the year where we consider your sacrifice and your resurrection. Because of your coming, we often forget about how harsh your righteous judgment can be. We live in an age of grace where mercy seems to be the most prominent characteristic we've seen in you. May we never take it for granted, Lord, even though it's easy to do. We want to serve you with our whole heart, and we're thankful for the love you've shared with us. And Lord, I just pray that your love will be received by all today. And as best that we can, we will give back to you, Lord, from the love of our own hearts. And while we know that this is a time which could end soon, we're so thankful for the time in which we live.
Yes.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit to us, granting us peace and joy. And may you have the freedom to lead us as you will throughout our day, throughout this week, into this month and this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you as you're seated.
Amen. I don't know if it's going to make a big difference with the sound, but my muff is gone. You know that little fuzzy thing that looks like a big Q-tip? It's supposed to muffle my consonants when I say them, like tuh and puh. How's that doing it? Is it okay? You can handle it? Well, if I see a little muff laying around here, I'll grab it, but otherwise we'll do without. So, how are we doing? It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. And we're going to go just real quickly. We've got some things we want to share. There's a video we're going to share that's going to be a challenge for certain people to withstand an element of pain. How many want to see that? There's going to be levels of pain and suffering proportionate to how much you can give towards missions. Are you ready to see this video? Is it ready to throw up there? Well, that sounded terrible, throw up there. We don't want to see throw up there. We want to see it put on the screen. So let's do that.
You see, it's come to belief that St. Patrick's Day is really just about, well, libations and food. But it truly is about what I did all those years ago to save Ireland, to bring the gospel to Ireland. It is not about what you see coming this way. Please, please. Disregard what you are about to see. Lord bless. I did not come to save the leprechauns. I came to save people. I was a slave, and then I left Ireland and then came back. This is a very large leprechaun. Must have evolved over the last 200 years. I don't know. But he's a big leprechaun. Anyway, Ireland is saved because we brought the gospel. So remember, Wednesday, when you're wearing your green and you're avoiding the leprechauns, ooh, there's gold down the aisle. Go get it, kids. Let's go. Come. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Well, that sounds fun. So there was a challenge on the video. I hope you understood it. If there's certain amounts of money raised for BGMC, there's going to be levels of eating some nuts that are really, really hot. And as that level increases with the giving, so does the hotness of each of those nuts. And so it looks like Lloyd and Pastor Jason and Levi and Justin Henderson have all agreed to take that challenge to heart. And then Pastor David from our network office is going to come or else do it online. I'm not sure which. If he can... No. Never mind. No. I just got a signal from the Pope. I must have some misconstrued information. So disregard the last part, but there's going to be levels of pain and suffering for our joy and fun. So there you go. And that's for the nutty. Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, you know, kids are going to do their thing downstairs, so that sounds like fun too. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 is where we're going to be. But before I do that, I have a video I would like to share with you from a good friend that I'm getting to know better. She's not that far away, and her father actually attends service with us once in a while. But greet Judith Grace Anderson, a missionary that is raising money. She will be here next Sunday to share her message. But this is just a commercial of what is to come. So go ahead and play.
Greetings, Glendive Assembly. This is Grace Anderson over here in Plentywood, Montana. Just wanted to come on and share a little bit with you about what Jesus is doing as I raise the budget to head to West Africa, as well as offer you folks some encouragement. So I'm 25% funded. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you to all the churches, all the pastors and their wives that have covered me in prayer during this process. I could never, ever do it without you. I could never do it without Jesus. Thank you. So on this journey, Jesus has been teaching me numerous lessons, and one of them is to fully trust him. In Matthew, it says, "Worry not what you shall eat or what you shall wear. Your Father in heaven knows you hath need of these things." I tend to run ahead of Jesus and try to get the doors open for the sake of being able to get them open and not to honor him. Do the task that Jesus has placed before you, but always do it to honor Jesus. I had a fellow missionary. She said, "You know, Grace, ask Jesus to open the doors." I was like, "What? I can do that? I don't have to work towards getting the doors open all by myself?" Ask of the Lord. He knows what you need. You know, it says in Proverbs that a man deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Be directed of the Lord today. Never be directed by the task, because the task is something Jesus has given you. But Jesus is the ultimate goal, the ultimate prize. Be directed of Jesus to do your task, but keep Jesus far above the task. Thank you so much, Glendive Assembly. You are in my prayers. Blessings.
Amen. And she will be here next Sunday. And we always are very careful to make sure that when we share information from missionaries that we can do that online and through our streaming service because we want to protect them if it's in a volatile country, a place where we don't need to draw attention to what they're doing, but she has assured me through sending this video that she can do that as we just did. So we're looking forward to that. So with that understanding of what's happening next week, let's look at what's happening this week. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39. And this will be the final lesson on a series that I've been working through with you about Let Your Heart Go Free, by Jeremy Austell, and it's been a very impacting series for me. I hope it has been for you. Some of the simplicity of following God and his grace and his love, also taking maybe some of the traditional thoughts and challenging them because of a misunderstanding or maybe too much emphasis on one area rather than another. And so this has been a very good series, and I hope that this final one will also wrap it up well for you and for me. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is so true. And I pray that you have experienced that love. And if you have not experienced this love, I pray that you will very soon. If it's not today, it will be soon. But I pray that you have received his love and that you know the confidence of the assuredness that no one and nothing can take that away. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love. Thank you for the grace you've given us and the simplicity of your gospel and yet the profoundness of it as well. Sometimes causes us to pause and to think. And I pray, Lord God, that as we do that today, you will encourage each and every heart. For we need to know about your love and why we were created and placed in this world. And I pray, Lord God, that as we receive this word today, you will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The title, as you probably know, if you're using the app, if you have the bulletin, you probably see it online as well. It's Made for Love. You have been created with purpose. You have been placed in this world for a reason. And the number one, most important reason is love. And I'm going to break down just a few thoughts that go along with that as we dive in. The final point that needs to be made in this series about letting your heart go free is simple, as I already said, and yet still it is profound. We've seen the errors of becoming destination-driven rather than relationship-focused in our faith with God. We have heard that God's dream for you is Himself. The lenses of our vision for God have been distorted by culture, tradition, even geography. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can see Him as He truly is. We have been challenged to change our cravings rather than trying to stop sinning as we come into the light of Christ in relationship. We have seen the value of developing a rhythm and a flow in the Spirit with incremental steps in playing a counting game Jesus way. Remember that, counting? We try to do something and we get up to so many and then we drop the ball and you got to start all over again. Well, Jesus says, no, we don't start over. We pick up right where we left off. I like the way He plays that game better. We've been encouraged to move away from the I'm a sinner saved by grace position to I am a child of the Father and a co-heir with Jesus position. And today for our final lesson, we will focus on what that which makes us human. And yes, you are different than the animals. Because you can love. And you can receive love. Now you probably are likely to be a person that has pets. I have pets. Have always had pets as far back as I can recall. I won't share all the tragic stories that go with it or all of the joyful stories either. It could take all day and a whole week, right? And yet, the very simplistic, basic understanding of animals versus humans is that we are different because we're created in God's image. Now, the evolutionary theory would like for you to believe otherwise, but like I said, it's a theory. It's not a fact. It will never be a fact. It will always be a theory. And you can argue, I suppose, that the creation perspective is also theory. And yet we have the evidence all around us. We have the evidence before us. We have so much more to go on. Even archaeology itself will back up our position with facts. Nevertheless, let's talk about this thing called love. Now, many of you have probably heard, and I've been told and I've been taught, that we are created to worship. How many have heard that before? It's okay to raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of us have. We're created for worship. We're created to worship. And there's a lot of evidence that that's true, and it's not an untruth. It's not that it's not true. However, I think there's other truths that are far more serious and important in comparison. Let us compare our own lives on earth as parents to God as our creator slash father. Okay, we're going to use an analogy to reveal this truth and this understanding. As a parent, did I decide after having been married that we should have children so that I can make a small version of myself with my wife, of course? It takes the two of us together to create a human being, right? Understanding biology. So we're going to create a child, a mini us, a mini me, a mini her, that can grow up and say how awesome I am. That's my reason for being a parent. That my son, oh, some of this is true. My son, who you all know, would be able to grow up and say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, you're so amazing. You're so awesome. You're incredible. You're oh, hallowed be Daddy," right? Now, when I say that, we all laugh. We kind of giggle. We think that's kind of cute and kind of funny. And the reason you do that is because you know it's also ridiculous. That I would venture to say that if there are any people in this world that have ever decided to have children for that reason, they would be far outnumbered by other reasons than that. Is there anyone that would say, yes, I want a child so I can raise them up to show how amazing I am, that they would worship my feet, that they would say how awesome and powerful and wonderful of a dad I truly am so that I can feel better about myself? Is that why we have children? No. It's not why we had children. I don't believe it's why you had children. It's not why any one of us had children. And yet, we are being told that's why God created you. So that you could worship Him and say how awesome and amazing and wonderful He is. Oh, wait a minute now. You're messing with tradition here. You're messing with my religious belief system now. Aren't we not, or are we going to worship God forever and ever and ever? Did we have children to have a more helpless version of me to bolster how I feel about how good I am? No. This would be classic narcissism. I had to look up the word narcissist. I've heard it many times lately, and I don't know why, but I hear it on TV from time to time. I hear it in the movies from time to time. I've never said it in a sermon before. So you just experienced the first time I said the word narcissism. And I'll tell you why I didn't ever say it before. Because I didn't know what it meant. I'm sorry, my vocabulary is only so big. And so I thought, this is narcissistic. And that's what the author of the book said. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to look up narcissism. What is that? Well, here's what it means. An excessive interest in or admiration of oneself. That's narcissism. If I were to have a child in order to make myself feel better and greater and train them to worship me so that I can feel really good, that's narcissism. Think about it. Some have told me while I was a child, I remember this very vividly in Sunday school. I remember sitting in church. I remember hearing it from the pastor. I remember hearing it even from my own family, that to go to heaven is to be around the throne of God, worshiping Him forever and ever. And I'm sorry, but in my humanity as a child, in my humanity as a teenager especially, in my humanity as a young adult and now a much older adult, I'm sorry, that sounds really, really boring. Blasphemy. Right? A pastor just uttered those words? Really, that's God's plan? Seriously, you believe that's God's plan? Is that your plan for children? Come on, come on. Hey, you're not singing loud enough. Sing a little louder, please. Play some more instruments, why don't you? I mean, come on, we're getting on with time. We're only halfway through eternity now. Let's sing some more. That's ridiculous. That sounds insane. That sounds off. It doesn't seem true because I don't believe it is true. Will we worship God forever and ever? Yes. But there's so much more that's going on. What is heaven going to be, by the way? Well, I don't know, but I got some really crazy thoughts about it. I really do. Off the wall, far out things. I really don't believe the God of creation that can create a universe that we still can't see the end of. We've sent things out there to Mars, we sent things to the moon, and we watch the stars and the satellites and the shooting stars, the falling stars, and the constellations and all those things, and that's just the outer space part. You get into the earth and all the intricacies of all the creation, the badlands and the mountains and the streams and the flow and the glaciers and the seasons and all the things that are going on. It's just incredible and mind-boggling. You get into biology and all the intricacies. I mean, I smacked my finger really hard yesterday and it hurt. And it's healing. And it feels so much better already because of the amazing way God created this body to heal. And you think that after all is said and done and the judgment day has come and the final story has been written, we're just going to sit around and just sing? That's the end? Forever and ever? No! That can't possibly be it. Because the God of creation, who is more amazing in his understanding of the depths of all things, do you think it's possible that he has another plan that we're going to join him with? We could possibly be like the angels on this earth are for us. We could be that for someone else with a whole new story and a whole new creation. I mean, I got some crazy ideas. But I don't believe that God is a gigantic creator narcissist who only wants us to think how awesome he is and that's it. That we're just going to worship and that's the end of the story. Call it good. Let's all go to heaven. I don't intend for that to be sarcastic. I mean that seriously. You're trying to encourage and impress young people to desire to go to heaven, and then they say, what are we going to do when we get there? Well, we're going to sit around the throne of God and worship him all day long forever. Probably not a very good sales pitch. And probably very inaccurate. Quite honestly, I don't know all that we're going to do. But I do know the most wonderful, joy-filled experience I've ever had doesn't compare to what I'm going to have there. The most peaceful, blessed calmness of assuredness that I've experienced on this earth will not even come close to what I'll feel when I'm in the presence of God for eternity. And the most amazing, wonderful tasting food you've ever had that you just can't wait to have again will not even touch the pleasure of what you will receive in the presence of God for all of eternity. I don't care what you experience that you enjoy and how wonderful and amazing this earth can be. The love of a family, the love of a wife and a child, the birth of a newborn. All these things don't even come close to comparing what you will experience in the presence of God for all of eternity. It's not going to be boring. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be beyond your comprehension, beyond your ability to truly understand. That is what it will be in eternity. And I want you to grasp how silly it sounds when you put yourself in that position to say, I had a child just so they could say how great I am. No, you had a child for a different reason. And you will understand and you will know this. There's truth that we will worship him. There is a more all-encompassing truth that we need to move on to. We were born to be, and that's the first part of it. Created to worship implies we're born to do. No, you were not born to do. You were born to be. Worship is a performance-driven perspective of our faith. That's not why God created us. To worship him. God, first of all, created you to be you, specifically and special and uniquely. He created me to be me. I am absolutely, for sure, 100% guaranteed the only one of me. Whew, everybody wipe your brow and say, thank the Lord Jesus for that. Because I can't handle more than one of those guys. That's enough. That's all the world needs. And guess what? It's the same for us all. You are the only one. Hallelujah. You are uniquely special, created for purpose. And you were born to be who you are. I still remember when I struggled with the call of God and I could not perceive or understand or even come close to grasping the thought and the idea that God wanted me to go into the full-time ministry. Are you kidding me? No way, Jose. I don't know if anybody says that anymore, but I used to say that a lot as a kid. No way, Jose. Who started that anyway? I'll have to look that up. It's not happening. And I still struggled all the way into my college years. I was halfway through my second semester in Bible college before I finally said yes to the call. And here was the thing that changed it for me. as I'm in my prayer meeting and God has convicted me and he's challenging me and I can't sit. I'm so uncomfortable because of the conviction of God, and he's just hounding me for the 100th time to say yes to the call, and I'm looking from the balcony down at all of the pastoral type of people. I'm pointing at them, calling them by name. I can't be like her. I can't be like him. I can't never be like that guy right there, and there's no way I could be a pastor. And he said to me, I didn't call you to be them. I called you to be you. What? Now, I am 19 years old, almost 19 years old. I've never heard that. Never heard that before. I knew I had to change. I knew I had to repent. I knew I had to be a new creation. I knew I had to submit to God's authority. I knew I had to say no to sin. I knew I had to do. I never knew I had to be me. Boom. And I said, okay, Lord, I accept. I will do it. As long as I can be me in the ministry, yes. And I've never looked back. I've never looked back. I've never looked back with regret, knowing I was going to go downstairs and talk to my girlfriend, who knew she would never be a pastor's wife, that I was going to be a pastor. Knowing that's the truth. Knowing I had to give up this relationship that was really starting to sparkle, right? And she was in the same prayer meeting, having the same struggle with God, knowing that now she's going to be in the ministry and I'm not, so she's got to go tell her boyfriend she's not having it because she's supposed to marry someone in the ministry. And yeah, so God was doing some cool stuff that day. We kind of avoided each other for I don't know how many days. We say, hey. Sit down next to each other, listening. Yeah, I'm learning. I got to talk to her. No, not today. Finally, we got the courage to say, I got to talk to you. It's not good. No, it's not good. You what? Wow. Okay. And then we were married a year later. Cool deal. Yeah, that's how God works. Boom, bam, boom, boom. He created you to be you. You need to accept that first of all. That's what we've been working through. Let your heart go free. Understand that you are not a mistake. You don't have to become someone else. Hallelujah, praise God. You are uniquely made by God for a purpose. Own it. Accept it. Love it. Be who you are. But God will make you complete as you are meant to be. His work in you, making you that new creation, that wonderful person that God has intended all along. The sin has been forgiven and you are now his. You're his child. Accept who you are in him and grow and be that person. You're uniquely you. You're born to be. In the parenthood discussion analogy, a craving to express myself to love and my love to another. That is the reason we had children, because we had a desire to love a child. We had a desire to nurture a child. We had a desire to raise up a human being to love God with us and along with us. And we are so excited that we are now seeing our grandchildren being raised in an environment to love God that we can nurture, that we can instruct and love on. I love it when I hear Papa, good night, or Papa this, or Grandpa, and these are great terms of endearment. I do love that, but I'll tell you what I love more. I love that I can love on my grandchildren. I love that I can pour my heart into their lives, into my children's lives, and into my wife, and into my friends and my family that is here today. I love that I can love you. I am not here to get accolades and response of, oh, you're so awesome, you're so great. No, that's narcissism. That's not who I am. That's not who God is. Think about it. You know it's true. He's not the big narcissist in heaven, the creator, so we can all give him good things. No, he created you so that he can nurture and love you. His reason for coming to die on a cross wasn't so that you could love him, it's so that he could love you. We've said it 100, if not 1,000,000 times, that he died for us. He first loved us. Because that was the whole reason in the beginning, from the very first time. Yes, we are hardwired to worship, but there's something much deeper in the core of each of us. We were born for love. We were born for love. What does that mean? Love in relationship is given by choice and from a free will heart. God put a tree in the garden and said, "Don't eat." The knowledge of good and evil was not in and of itself the tree. It became the knowledge of good and evil when God said, "Don't eat." And they ate. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they saw their own nakedness. They realized that they had sinned. Nothing has ever happened like that before. Sin came into the world and there was this awe, "Oh my goodness, I'm naked" moment. And they were hiding from the Lord as he walked through the garden. We talked about it way back in the early part of the series. Eden lost. We lost Eden, didn't we? We lost all that pleasure and that fulfillment in the garden that was there at that time. And they were cast out. They couldn't go back. And yet now we have the opportunity to once again have that relationship that Adam and Eve once had. Through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, and we are now able to find the freedom of loving him as well. But here's the big ticker, here's the big thing. He can love you as he has meant to love you. We needed that tree in the garden to give the opportunity for something called free will. And because they chose, we all choose. You have the right and the privilege to say no to the love of God. Or you can say yes. God's greatest desire in creating you and all of humanity was not so he could receive love, but so that he could give it. Think about it. As a parent, you know it's true. The opportunities as you held that child for the first time. I still remember Levi. He was a little well done. Beyond the expiration date. But here he is. And he's doing this kind of number, squinting those eyes. And I'm thinking, I think he's actually trying to look at me. And the nurse says, "Well, Dad, why don't you go over by the door? Behind that door, it's darker in the shadows. And that bright light isn't shining on his face. And maybe he'll open his eyes and look at you." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I'm a dumb dad, but I'll do that. That sounds smart." So I went over to the shadows of the doorway. And I held him. And he just, boom, eyes just opened, squarely looking me in the eye. And my heart stopped. A lot of things went through my mind. A little bit of fear. Oh my goodness, this is someone I have to take care of. But mostly it was, "I am going to love you, son, with my whole heart. I can't wait to experience life with you." And I felt that with each of our children. I felt that as we've continued to see grandchildren. I'm so glad I can pour out my love into your life. Are you or are you not created in the image of God? Have you not received the same kind of love in your own heart for others that has been instilled in you because you're in his image? And God has looked upon you your entire life and looked at you with that caring fatherhood and not says, I can't wait till you grow up so you can worship me and make me feel better about who I am. No, he doesn't think that. He doesn't feel that. He says, I cannot wait to pour my love into your life. I cannot wait to see you experience life and how I come alongside you and help you through the hard times and give you my strength and give you my peace and give you my joy. I can't wait to see you grow into adulthood and that you can lead others and I can love them just like I'm loving you. And our response to his love, as we receive his love, is the natural, wonderful blessing of what it is as a child looks to his father, as a child looks to his mother, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. Why do the children love the parents? Because the parents love them first. God loves you. Your greatest challenge in this life is not loving God. I want you to grasp this. Your greatest mission, your number one goal, your primary purpose in this world is not to love, it's not to do, it's not to worship, it's not to give offerings, it's not to witness, it's not to testify, it's to receive his love. You need to receive his love. You were created to be loved by God. End of story, end of discussion. If you can do that well, everything else falls in place. So many people I've shared the love of God with have told me, I'm not good enough. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know the things I've done. No, I don't. I don't know the things you've done. I don't need to know the things you've done. All I know is God loves you. And he wants you to find his grace and forgiveness. No one can earn it. No one can achieve it. No one can do anything to gain that from the Lord because it's just too much. We just can't. We're not good enough. We never will be. We're sinners. You don't deserve his grace and neither do I. But your first step in the salvation experience is not loving God. It's receiving his. And that is your greatest challenge as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit beating yourself up for how terrible you think you are and how unrighteous you have been and how far you fall short of what you think is the parameters of what you ought to be. Just stop beating yourself up and thinking that God is out to get you, that he's got this mission to hurt you. He doesn't. His greatest desire, mission for you in this life is to love you. Will you receive his love? You were created for that purpose. And because you have received his love, for those of you who are believers, born again, you have the Holy Spirit within, because of the transformation work, the powerful anointing of God is on your life, you know that because of that great love of which you have received, you love him right back, don't you? It's kind of like, I love you, I love you. I love you this much. I remember we used to do this. We don't do this anymore. We got to bring it back. We used to sit there and hold hands. I'm usually up here, so we don't sit together and hold hands much, I guess. I don't know. Shame on me. I'm sure it's not her, it's me. And we would squeeze each other's hands. Love you. Love you back. And the harder you squeeze, the more your love is. Well, guess who else has a really good squeeze? I love you. Pop, 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 pop. All the knuckles are snapping. Oh, I'm sorry. I really love you a lot, but I don't want to break your fingers, right? You can't outlove God, but you try because his love is so amazing. And you just want to worship him. You want to just say, Lord, you're so awesome. You're amazing. I have a song I wrote for you, Lord. Would you like me to sing it? Oh, Ashlyn, this is weird. Ashlyn just came to me right before service started. Grandpa, I just wrote a song about Jesus, and I want you to have it. So she just wrote a song about her love for God, something she did in Sunday school, I suppose. And I was just like, that's really awesome. Ashlyn, would you sing it for me? But you need to take it home so I don't forget it in my office. So I told her, take it home so we can sing it together. That's what happens when you receive God's love. You love him back. And you worship him. And you listen to his commands. Because you know when Dad says, don't ride your bicycle across the gravel road without looking first. You know, there's a good reason for that. Because there might be a car going by at 55 miles per hour, which happened a lot on the farm. And if I'm not looking, I might get killed by getting hit by a car or a pickup or a semi or whatever else. Tractor, probably not. I'd hear it coming, right? I almost got hit by a car one time. Ride my bike, go into the ditch because that's where the good jumps were. I had my ramp all built up and everything. I could jump 5 feet off the ground with my bicycle. And if I landed with my feet on the pedals, that was a good day. Not so much if it didn't, you know. So, but I was going to get a really good run because I had to break my record. You know, boys will be boys. And now I'm going up, get on the gravel road, and I'm going to... Car went by, missed me by inches. I didn't make the jump very good either. It just kind of rattled me a little bit. What I didn't realize was my mom saw it. She was not happy. She came out and she gave me a few words and instructed me with her wisdom about my foolishness. I will just leave it at that. There might have been a few tears, not hers. Yeah, she was already crying. Why would they come up with these terrible rules and restrictions to make our lives miserable? Hello, maybe because they don't want you to get hit by a truck going 55 miles per hour on the gravel road when you're not looking. Maybe some of these rules are for our benefit and for our peace and for our benefits so we don't get hurt by the world. Amen, hallelujah. Dads care about their children, and so they're going to give them some guidelines to follow. To wrap this message up, let's look to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through verse 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How does this happen? How can I truly be filled with all the fullness of God? How can I feel satisfied in this world? It's by receiving the love of God. Your primary goal in this world ought to be receiving his love. Receive it well. Embrace his love. And let that love drive you and lead you into all righteousness, that comes through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must start with the foundation. Too many times we flip that thing right on its head, upside down, wrong, every which way but right. And we think we have to earn his love. We think we have to do things to benefit from his guidance. We have to discipline ourselves and restrict ourselves and somehow do these things, and then we can get from him. No, you receive his love first and let the love of God guide you in your life. Quit trying to stop sinning and change your cravings. Goes right along with the love of God. You spent much of your life straining and striving to love God more. You've heard it. You've been challenged by it. Love him more. Love him more. How many times have you been challenged to receive his love better? Your development as a follower of Jesus Christ is more tied to your ability to receive love than how you give love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love comes first. We all know John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. His love comes first. We receive his love first. And when we receive his love, that's not a one and done kind of idea that suddenly, oh, now I'm a believer. Now I got to do a lot of stuff to keep it. No, you just keep receiving his love. You're not here to perform for him. Are there things we should do? Yes. I've preached many messages about those things. Maybe to an imbalance of what I should have been focused on at times. You need your heart to be free. Gathering together in his house should not be a burden. It should not be something that you do out of duty, even though sometimes you do. It ought to be a natural response from your heart of hearts to gather together, to encourage one another, to love on one another, and go with his love into this world to continue to express that love to others. Why? Because you've received his love so well. It's just a natural response. It's a natural response for a child to love that parent who raises them and nurtures them and just blesses on them. It takes years, years for that child to get to a place where they can start blessing back. And so you know, as well as I do, that that's not why we've had children. We have them to love them. To bless them. God created you to love you. Primary number one purpose. And there is a response that we give as his children to love him back. Amen? It causes us to well up with song. And we go out into this wonderful, beautiful creation he has given us. And we can't but help but just smile. Say, Lord, you really did a really nice job out there at Makoshika. What a beautiful place that is. Lord, it's really neat how I can throw a disc and create a spin on it, and it can fly a certain way, all because of science that you created. And I know that this body that you made can do better. If I just keep practicing, I'll improve. You know, it's so fun to play with you, Lord, to go out and just have fun once in a while. He likes that too. He likes it when you put your hands in dirt and plant those seeds and water them and fertilize them and plants come out and produce fruit and vegetables and different things that you like to eat at the table. You could probably save money and just buy it at the store. Come on now, all you gardeners out there. You know it's true. It tastes better from the garden. That's what I hear, yes. But you enjoy it. And God does too. He wants to spend time with you. Is that so hard? Oh, Lord, I'm going to start waking up at 5 in the morning. No, let's make it 4. Yep, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. And we'll have time together. I'm sorry. Really? That's what you're giving me? I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you all day long. I really want to spend time with you. I don't want your worship. I don't want your adoration. I don't want you to kiss my feet. Maybe I'm getting a little too far here, but seriously, I don't want your accolades and your performance. I simply want to be with you. Is that so hard to grasp, people? That's why we're told to pray continually and not continuously. Continually means you're always with me, Lord. Communication lines are always open. I see you in everything I do, and I reflect on that, and I thank you, and I honor you with my time. Matter of fact, there's not a day that goes by that I'm not with you, Lord, and I want to recognize that every moment. And there are times where we really need to just sit down and get to business, and I got some things I got to share. Excuse me, Lord, and I know there's things you want to tell me that I'm sometimes distracted with my job and driving and whatever else. We'll have those times, but Lord, I want to be with you always too. Let's do this. Can we do that? Receive God's love and receive it well. And you'll be amazed how it changes your life. Would you stand with me as we close? You should not feel that you have to strain and strive to love God. If you feel that way, then you're not doing it right. You're trying to earn something that's already freely given. You need to just embrace Him. Embrace His love. I'm going to open this altar to you and encourage you, maybe you just need to take some time to get it straight. To reflect on the performance-driven nature that you have. And maybe lay it here at the altar and walk away. Just leave it here. And just receive His love. If you're here and you need that time, I'm going to pray and call you forward. And if you need to go, please do so quietly for those that may be in prayer. But let's do better at receiving His love, shall we? Let our hearts go free. No longer bound by rules and disciplines. When we begin right, it ends well. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving. You created us to love us. We know it's true. You've proven that over and over and over again, and yet we don't see it so obviously there, and yet we think somehow we don't deserve, therefore we perform. We think we have to do stuff to deserve your love, and it's not that way at all. We're just not receiving it. And so, Lord, I pray that we can start with a fresh heart, a heart that receives your love with a welcome, open arm. Kind of like that person that doesn't like to be hugged, but then when the embrace comes, we just melt. We melt before you because we've needed it so desperately. Please, Lord, embrace your children once again as they freely receive. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have time to spare, would you come and just be in his presence and receive his love today? Say yes. Whether you've been serving him for many years or not, or you've just now coming and saying, I want to make you Lord and Savior for the very first time. Whoever you are, please come and receive his love today. For those who are going to leave, I'll pray a prayer of dismissal. Lord, thank you for this blessing, knowing that we were created to be loved, to be and then to be loved. May we receive it well as we go into our world and are then led by your Spirit. With the fullness of who you are within us, we will be victorious. I pray your blessing on each one as we go in Jesus' name. Amen.